Chapter 39. Missing. The sun rose and shed light on what Rosquero and Migory Sow had done. And finally, Despero awoke. But alas, he awoke too late. "I haven't seen her," Louise was shouting, "and I tell you I washed my hands of her. If she's missing, I say good riddance. Good riddance to bad rubbish." Despero sat up. He looked behind him. Oh, his tail! Gone! Given over to the knife, and where the tail should be, nothing but a stub. "And more foul play, Gregory, dead?" shouted Cook. "Poor old man, that rope of his broken by who knows what, and him lost in the dark, and frightened to death because of it. It's too much." "Oh, no," whispered Despero. "Oh, no, Gregory is dead." The mouse got to his feet and began the long climb down from the shelf. Once he was on the floor, he stuck his head around the corner of the pantry and saw Cook standing in the center of the kitchen, wringing her fat hands. Beside her stood a tall woman jangling a ring of keys. "That's right," said Louise. "All the king's men was down there searching for her in the dungeon, and when they came back up, what do they have with them? They have the old man, dead. And now you can tell me that Mig is missing, and I say, who cares?" Despero made a small noise of despair. Oh, he slept too long. The rat had already acted. The princess was gone. "What kind of world is it, Miss Louise, where princesses are taken from right under our noses and queens drop dead and we cannot even take comfort in soup?" And with this, Cook started to cry. "Shh," said Louise. "I beg you, do not say that word." "Soup," shouted Cook. "I will say it. No one can stop me. Soup, soup, soup." And then she began to cry in earnest, wailing and sobbing. "There," said Louise. She put a hand out to touch Cook, and Cook slapped it away. "It will be all right," said Louise. Cook brought the hem of her apron up to wipe at her tears. "It won't," she said. "It won't be all right ever again. They've taken our little darling away. There ain't nothing left to live for without the princess." Despero was amazed to have exactly what was in his heart spoken aloud by such a ferocious, mouse-hating woman as Cook. Louise again reached out to touch Cook, and this time Cook allowed her to put an arm around her shoulder. "What will we do? What will we do?" wailed Cook. And Louise said, "Shh." Alas, there was no one to comfort Despero, and there was no time anyway for him to cry. He knew what he had to do. He had to find the king. 4. Having heard Rosquero's plan, reader, Despero knew that the princess was hidden in the dungeon. And being somewhat smarter than Migory Sow, he sensed the terrible unspoken truth behind Rosquero's words. He knew that Mig could never be a princess. And he knew that the rat, once he captured the pea, would never let her go. And so, the small mouse, who had been dipped in oil, covered in flour, and relieved of his tail, slipped out of the pantry and past the weeping ladies. He went to find the king. Chapter 40. Forgiveness. He went first to the throne room, but the king was not there. And so, Despero slipped through a hole in the molding and was making his way to the princess's room when he came upon the mouse council. 13 mice and one most very honored head mouse sitting around their piece of wood debating important mouse matters. Despero stopped and stood very still. "Fellow honored mice," said the most very honored head mouse, and then he looked up from the makeshift table and saw Despero. "Despero," he whispered. The other mice of the council leaned forward, straining to make some sense of the word that the head mouse had just uttered. "Pardon?" one said. "Excuse me?" said another. "I didn't hear right," said a third. "I thought you said Despero." The head mouse gathered himself together. He tried speaking again. "Fellow members," he said, "a ghost, a ghost." And he raised a shaking paw and pointed it at Despero. The other mice turned and looked. And there was Despero Tilling, covered in flour, looking back at them, the telltale red thread still around his neck like a thin trail of blood. Despero, said Lester, son, you have come back. Despero looked at his father and saw an old mouse whose fur was shot through with gray. How could that be? Despero had only been gone a few days, but his father seemed to have aged many years in his absence. Son, ghost of my son, said Lester, his whiskers trembling. I dream about you every night. I dream about beating the drum that sent you to your death. I was wrong. What I did was wrong.
No, called the most very honored head mouse. No.
I've destroyed it, said Lester. I've destroyed the drum. Will you forgive me? He clasped his front paws together and looked at his son.
No, no, shouted the head mouse again. Do not ask the ghost to forgive you, Lester. You did as you should. You did what was best for the mouse community.
Lester ignored the head mouse. Son, he said, please. Despero looked at his father, at his gray streaked fur and trembling whiskers, and his front paws clasped together in front of his heart, and he felt suddenly as if his own heart would break in two. His father looked so small, so sad. Forgive me, Lester said again.
Forgiveness, reader, is, I think, something very much like hope and love. A powerful, wonderful thing. And a ridiculous thing, too. Isn't it ridiculous, after all, to think that a son could forgive his father for beating the drum that sent him to his death? Isn't it ridiculous to think that a mouse could ever forgive anyone for such perfidy?
But still, here are the words Despero Tilling spoke to his father. He said,
I forgive you, Pa.
And he said those words because he sensed that it was the only way to save his own heart, to stop it from breaking in two.
Despero, reader, spoke those words to save himself.
And then he turned from his father and spoke to the whole mouse council.
You were wrong, he said, all of you. You asked me to renounce my sins. I ask you to renounce yours. You wronged me. Repent.
Never, said the head mouse.
Despero stood before the mouse council, and he realized that he was a different mouse than he had been the last time he faced them. He had been to the dungeon and back up out of it. He knew things that they would never know.
What they thought of him, he realized, did not matter.
Not at all.
And so, without saying another word, Despero turned and left the room. After he was gone, the head mouse slapped his trembling paw on the table.
Mice of the council, he said, we have been paid a visit by a ghost who has told us to repent.
We will now take a vote. All in favor of saying that this visit did not occur, say aye. And from the members of the mouse council, there came a tiny but emphatic chorus of ayes.
Aye, 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 aye.
Only one mouse said nothing. That mouse was Despero's father, Lester Tilling. He turned his head away from the other members of the mouse council. He was trying to hide his tears. He was crying, reader, because he had been forgiven.